This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, sitting in for Terry Gross. My guest is Rocco Mediate, a professional golfer who captured the hearts of millions of non-golf fans last June when he battled the great Tiger Woods to a thrilling finish at the U.S. Open. Mediate was appealing not just because no one gave him a chance to win, but because he's a likable everyman, a 45-year-old with a paunch and a winning smile who gave the champ the greatest battle of his career. Rocco Mediate has written a memoir and account of the historic U.S. Open with sports journalist John Feinstein. It's called Are You Kidding Me? Well, Rocco Mediate, welcome to Fresh Air. You played sports a lot as a kid, I know. Why did you end up with golf?
Well, I played baseball, I think, back in the, 70s. But and all my buddies, we had a neighborhood with like 10, 12 kids about the same age. So we had a great time, and we all played in the same league. So they all played. We all played together, and then they kind of quit playing and played golf. So I decided to give golf a shot, and we're still here because I didn't have any, the baseball was over. I didn't want to play in high school. I wasn't good enough to play in high school. So who knew? Who knew?
Now, I want to talk a little bit about what it's like when you're out there on the, playing on the tour. And, and of course, you have a partner, the caddy, and
right. He
carries the clubs and rakes the sand traps, but he's much more than that. What does a good caddy do?
Oh, yeah. Well, it depends on who you are. Like, some guys just like him to carry the bag, give him numbers, yardages from where they are to the hole, stuff like that. I like Matthew, who caddies for me. He's all my caddies over 24 years I've been on this tour. I've had maybe five different guys, which isn't a lot, actually. I like them to be involved, and I like to talk, and I like to, it's just, I'm only concentrating for about, 4 or 5 seconds over each shot. So it's not like I have a lot to do. So I like to keep busy. They do everything. They keep you calm. The good ones keep you calm, and the good ones tell you to, if you're complaining and whining and, oh, this is not right and this can't happen to me, which we all do. He kind of puts you back in your place. He should. A good one isn't, one thing Pete Bender, who caddied for me for years, who caddied for Norman and Watkins, and now he's caddying for Aaron Baddeley. Pete never let me get away with childish things because he's seen them all. So he got in my face, and it's good. One thing he said is you shouldn't ever be afraid as a caddy to be fired. Uh-huh. A lot of guys are.
And what kind of childish things would he
call
you?
Well, what I mean? It's just like, that's a bad break, or that ball should have went here, blah, blah, blah. It's just I vent everything. I don't keep anything inside me. It all comes out. And, it may sound negative, but negativity in my mind fuels me, I guess you could say. It's like I always try to prove myself wrong when I say something like, oh, my God, I can't believe I did that, or I shouldn't be here, or this is ridiculous, stuff like that. We all do it, whether it's inside, internal or I say it. And, Matthew's done a good job so far of keeping me where I need to be.
Now, the other thing that happens, of course, in a golf tournament is that you're playing with other guys, two or three, mm-hmm. depending on the day of the tournament. And right. You both hit, or you three of you hit, and then you walk down the fairway, which means you got a lot of time to talk if you want to, but a lot of players don't. Now, right. Is that because they're concentrating or because they want to psych you out? What's going on there?
No, there's the psyching out part doesn't really – as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing that can psych me out except for me. no one else can affect anything that I do, nobody. So – and that's how it should be. There's nothing that can stop me from doing what I want to do on the golf course unless I do it myself. But, I talk a lot going down. I'll talk to fans. I'll talk to Matthew. I'll talk to the players. It depends on who you're playing with.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get in there and bother people just because I don't do that. I don't change my game for anybody, or change the way I play for anybody. But if I can tell people don't want to talk, I don't bother with the guys I'm playing with as far as talking. But, their caddies always talk a lot, and, I keep busy. But some guys just don't.
Yeah, no,
they don't
no.
say anything.
Right. I mean, people can see you're walking down the fairway just chattering away. And what are you talking about? You're talking about the weather? You're talking about where you're going to have dinner?
Who knows? All that stuff. Weather, dinner, what did you do last night, Matthew? You're just trying to figure something out. Talk about how you're feeling, what you felt. I'll talk about the shots sometimes or the club I hit or whatever, just the breaks and stuff like that. But there's nothing – it's really not rocket science out there. If people knew what we really talked about sometimes, they'd be shocked.
You've had, by any measure, a successful, career on the pro tour. But mm-hmm. at times you have really struggled with back problems.
Oh, boy. Yes, I have. Describe
a couple of the really tough moments there for us. I mean, like in July of 2007, I mean, just a year before you the famous U.S. Open.
All started in 94, 93 actually. The end of 93, I had a disc blow in my L1-2 disc. L2-3. Kind of fractured, herniated and went crazy. And I had surgery in 94 and I didn't know if I'd ever play again. Went through rehab, blah, blah, blah. Came back out, got my card. I still had my card, but I had to go do something crazy to get it back. And I did. And then it was good for 4 or 5 years. And then, the mid-2000s, like 3, 4, and 5, I was in bad
shape. And when you say get your card, you mean the card?
Oh, yeah, the player's card.
Tour, right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we call it. It's just your privileges back. If you don't finish in the top 125, you're out. You got to go back to tour school, which is a 6-round tournament. They play every year, and they take 25 guys, I think, now. Something like that. 25 guys out of a couple of hundred to get to play the next year. So it's a great job if you can get it, but it's a tough interview because you interview it every year. You have to play good or you're gone. So, and I love that part about my sport. But it was really bad there in the mid-2000s, I guess you would say. I had a great, pretty good year. And I think my best year was 02, I believe. I'm not exactly sure. Then 03 was okay. Then 04, 05, and 06, I was in bad shape. I my back went crazy and I couldn't play much. And when I did, it was terrible. And the Masters in 06 is when it really went sideways. And it blew out on the back nine on the Sunday. I had the lead going into, I think I was one out of the lead or tied for the lead going to the back nine. I almost couldn't finish. And that was pretty bad. And then 2007 is when I met Cindy Hofman, who's a physical therapist, and she fixed me.
So the tournament's 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And after 3 days, Tiger has finally taken the lead by, I think, one stroke, right?
Right.
And his record in major tournaments where he has led going into the last day, 13 times he's started the last day leading and has won all 13 times. So,
right. Mm-hmm.
So people tend to kind of think it's over then. Now, the interesting thing that it's hard when I look back at this to remember that you and Tiger were not actually playing together on that last day.
No, he was behind me.
You were in the group in front of him. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But talk a little bit about what it's like to play around Tiger on the last day of a big tournament. Are there special distractions?
The only distractions I have are the ones I create. The people I love. I love the noise. I love the enclosedness. I like the people on the tee. I like all that stuff. I like that excitement. I wish I could do it every week, but I can't.
You mean the thousands of people who are there to see
thousands
Tiger
of people,
and whoop
right.
And
well,
bore,
there's,
right?
Right. They're to see all of us, really, yeah. Especially yeah. On the last day. And they want to see him go. They want to see, like you said, he's won 13 in a row, but there's always a first time for everything. And that's what I was thinking. I'm like, I want to knock this guy off somehow. I know I can. I'm playing good enough to do it because it's an open course. I know what's going to win. And I knew if I was par or better on by the end of the week that I was probably going to win. And unfortunately, it was a tie. But I knew what I had to do, and I knew what, he still has to do it too. It's not as easy. Just because he's who he is, he still has to perform, which he does. He's done better than anybody that ever played. So it's no different to me when he's in the field or not. I'd rather have that challenge and say that I beat the best when I, if I did. I mean, I won the Phoenix Open in 99 playing with him the last two rounds in the same group with me, and I won that. I'll never forget that because he was the number one ranked player in the world. He, and that's just something I can always tell my children, and I love that fact. And I wanted that again a year ago, but I just about got it. I mean, I didn't quite get it, but it doesn't affect me. It doesn't scare me. It doesn't make me nervous, none of that stuff. I just want to beat him somehow.
All right. So on the last day of this tournament, where everybody knows that nobody can get ahead of Tiger if he started the day ahead, you did. I mean, you played mm-hmm. well, and with one hole to go for each of them, you had a one-stroke lead. And it was at some point in this that the TV commentator Johnny Miller, the former golfer, said something like Rocco looks more like Tiger's pool boy than a U.S. Open champion, and it generated some controversy. And
right.
How'd you feel about that?
I didn't care. I thought it was funny. Johnny is a buddy of mine, and Johnny shoots from the hip too. But he just says those things sometimes. I was the first call I got on. The first call I got on Tuesday morning was from him to apologize. I said, I think I got myself in trouble. What do you think? And I said, I'm fine.
you took it as a compliment?
No, well, no. I didn't really take it as anything. I'm like, it's no big deal. It's just how it is. I mean, Tiger's pedigree, I'm not. Those things happen. And, a lot of times, obviously, it didn't happen. The amazing thing didn't happen. I did not win the golf tournament. But there would have been a lot more stories written like that if I did.
All right. So despite Tiger being three strokes ahead on this playoff, mm-hmm. you play well, you come up, and again, on the last hole, have a one-stroke lead. And again, right. Tiger manages a birdie. So you're tied again and go to a one-hole playoff, and finally Tiger wins.
Right.
When what did the two of you say to each other at the end of it?
Well, you know, I just went over, and after I just missed that par putt to tie, and I walked over, and he just kind of had his hand out, and I just kind of hugged him, and I don't want any part of a handshake. I just kind of hugged him, and he said, "Great fight," and I said, "You too," and that was it.
Yeah,
there's nothing really much to say. It was a long day and a long week, and it was just a very emotional. Roger Maltby and Mark Rolfing were taken back so much because it was so emotional. You know, they're the on-course announcers for us. Roger was talking with Tiger, and Mark was talking with me, following me. So it was just an emotional. Everybody couldn't believe how it turned out because in all, it was over after 10 holes. Everyone thought, except for me.
Right.
Everybody thought it was over. The whole world said, "This is ridiculous," I'm sure, but it became not ridiculous. I knew that if I could do what I had to do, I could beat him. And when I walked to 16 tee box, one ahead, that was exactly where I wanted to be. I wasn't surprised, shocked, worried. I just said, if I do my job the next three holes, it's mine.
Well, you know, Tiger is known for getting big crowds and adoring crowds. But mm-hmm. in this tournament, where you're the guy, the one they call everyman, the guy who came in, not even one of the top 100 golfers in the world, and takes him a place that no other player ever has on a last day. How did the crowd react to you? What did you feel from them?
Oh, it was total. They were totally me that day. They were very good with both of us, but the screams and the name, the scream and the name, and it was so loud. And they just thought they were going to see something that was never done before. And they enjoyed that. No, you know, they everybody loves Tiger, believe me. But in this instance, they were crazy. It was cool. It was one of the coolest. I'll never see anything like it before, no matter what I do. 30,000 people following two people. I mean, the 18th grandstand was full at 7 o'clock in the morning. We didn't get there till after 2 o'clock. After 1 o'clock. So it was amazing. It was amazing.
Well, Rocco Mediate, good luck on the tour, and thanks so much for speaking with us.
You got it, my friend. Take care.
Rocco Mediate's book with John Feinstein is called "Are You Kidding Me?"